This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. For some, summer is their favorite season. Travel picks up, kids are out of school, and adventure is the focus. For others, juggling it all can be tough, and that can lead to overwhelm and counting down the minutes until kids are back in school. And many worry they're wasting the days of sunshine. I know for me, summer can be a little bit tough, as I'm juggling a lot more with work, in addition to the regular families, hobbies, and friends. I often feel overwhelmed, and that overwhelming leads to feelings of stress as I worry that I'm letting others down. This at times leads me to actually dread the summer months, which then makes me mad at myself for dreading some of the best times of the year. With BetterHelp, you can be matched with quality therapists with care and reliability. BetterHelp does the initial matching work for you so you can focus on your therapy goals. A short questionnaire helps identify your needs and preferences, and their 12 plus years of experience and industry-leading match fulfillment rate means they typically get it right the first time. And if you aren't happy with your match, switch to a different therapist at any time from their tailored recommendations. BetterHelp is one of the world's largest online therapy platforms, with over 30,000 therapists having served over 6 million people globally. You don't have to say yes to everything this summer. Find support in therapy. Sign up and get 10% off at BetterHelp.com. That's Better, H-E-L-P.com. With the summer here, I needed to add some new bits to my wardrobe. After eking out the absolute most I possibly could out of some stuff I bought maybe a decade ago, it was time for a refresh, and that's where Quince came in. With Quince, I was able to get some great new swimwear and some new summer casual pants that both work great and look great. The fits are clean, the fabric feels nice, and everything just works without needing to overthink it. I'm able to look way more put together, but still feel casual and comfortable. For example, the summer pants I got fit really well, but more importantly, they breathe really well, so they can handle whatever temperature it is outside, which in the upper Midwest summer can be quite a treat some days. And the swimwear is great for when I just got to get away from that heat. Quince has all the wardrobe staples for spring and summer. Think 100% European linen shorts and shirts from $34, lightweight, breathable, and comfortable, but still look put together. Their pants also hit that same balance, relaxed and comfortable, but still polished enough to wear pretty much everywhere. And everything is priced 50 to 80% less than what you'd find at similar brands, because Quince works directly with ethical factories to cut out middlemen, so you're getting premium materials without the markup. Refresh your everyday with luxury you'll actually use. Head to quince.com/40klore for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns. That's quince.com/40klore for free shipping and 365-day returns. quince.com/40klore. You're listening to this podcast, so I know you've got a curious mind. Here's a helpful fact you might not know yet. Drivers who switch and save with Progressive save over $900 on average. Pop over to progressive.com, answer some questions, and you'll get a quick quote on discounts that are easy to come by. In fact, 99% of their auto customers earn at least one discount. Visit progressive.com and see if you can enjoy a little cash back. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $946 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2024 and May 2025. Potential savings will vary.
Welcome to the 40K Lorecast.
Welcome to 40K Lorecast with me, John Barsotti, and Brad Chester.
This guy.
Today, we're diving into the Legion of the Damned. What they are, where they come from, and what is known about them.
Ooh. Also, they look cool when you paint them.
I'll talk about that.
Come on.
There's a lot of black armies.
Yeah, but I mean, you saw Valley's army. It looks really cool.
It does. Maybe talk about it later, but like if we're ranking out like the all black Space Marine armies, I actually think Death Watch looked the best. That's my opinion. But
They can be pretty boring, but go ahead.
All right. 40K Lorecast, a weekly show focusing on the lore of the Warhammer 40K universe, releasing every Monday at 7 p.m. Eastern. For those who are doing it and aren't doing it, the follows and then the comments help us out a lot. Please continue to do it. I do love your comments. They are hilarious. It's a very fun part of my day. We have a, by the way, if you guys aren't aware of it, we've got a lot of comments. It's really cool. It's actually super cool. So additionally, if you check the show notes to it, the show, you'll see links to some other stuff, including YouTube channel for our bi-monthly always-ish Q&As. Also have a link to Brad's YouTube channel for Brad's, you know, learn more about 40K.
I've totally done some stuff.
Yeah, it's happening now. A link to our other show, The History of 40K, where we talk about the history of the game on the tabletop. We're doing some cool faction focuses right now. We did a really enjoyable one about why the Tau suck. If you like the sound of my voice, you can also check out my other show, Retro Recall, where I just recently concluded a full month of the most difficult games of all time, including Echo the Dolphin, The Lion King, Aladdin, and then Star Wars Empire Strikes Back, which sucked so hard. Anyway, if you want to help us out and support us, there's two great ways to do it. One, going to our website. We sell great merchandise on our website, great t-shirts, stickers, wine glasses, beer glasses, and more. And of course, everyone's favorite part, our Patreon. Patreon's a great way to help us out. A great way actually to help all artists out. I realize I should start promoting Patreon more in general. To support us, all you do is click the link to the Patreon and you get this show and the history of 40K ad-free. It is $4.99 a month. And if you don't realize what's about to happen next, that's on you. 4.29 euros. Because where are we going? You haven't figured it out, guys. Come on. Mi scusi. It's a big tunnel. Obviously, we're going to Rome. If you guys haven't figured out, I've been doing Euro trip for the last, I don't know, month. This is a final stop on the Euro trip wagon. Italia. So Italia is actually super easy for me because I go there all the time. I usually go to Tuscany because that's where my family is. But screw it.
Let's say, if you can't do anything about Italy with a name like Barsani, just come on.
Fine. Perché andare a Roma? Perché ti piacciono la storia? Perché non ti rendere tante c'è la Toscana e decimetri migliore? Non è colpo mio, è la verità. Il nostro tipo è migliore, la nostra arte è migliore, il nostro panoramia sono migliore, e il nostro vino decimante migliore. So, there we go. And for those of you who understand what I just said, yeah, it's fun. If those of you don't, whatever. I mean, I don't know. Read a book.
Also, I have to say, I meant to say this last episode. We talked about the comments and stuff like that. Yep. The amount of comments that just throw in my old man brand 40k@gmail.com. There's, I think, one in almost every episode, and it does crack me up.
It is
every time. So please keep doing it.
All right, but anyway, back to English about Rome. Look, why go to Rome? Because you like history, you like art, you like food, and you don't mind throngs of tourists and the concept of hopping in a cab and wondering if today is the day. Doesn't bother you because your driver thinks that if he can get above 88 miles an hour, he can travel back in time. That is a real thing in Rome. Fun story in Rome. I think like 95% of all cars in Rome are dented, if I'm not mistaken. Or not. I always tell people, when you learn to drive in Italy, you can drive anywhere. While you're there, though, you can see it all. I love Italy. Rome's fine. The Colosseum, but to be fair, like, the Colosseum looks beat up, but I'm sorry, does your country have a 2,000-year-old thing that's still standing? No? Because Toledo's 189 years old, and I think we're all ready to let that one go.
Oh my God. Come on! they have some of the best. The places across from the Colosseum are fantastic. I have pictures where, because they have the Pantheon. Rooftop restaurants.
Okay.
Where you're across the way. And I've got pictures of me, you know, on a rooftop with the Colosseum in the background. And it looks 100% Photoshop because, you know, it's at night. Well,
the engineering is insane there. The truth is, it's all through there. The part of town I'm from actually does have a Roman aqueduct in it. But you're talking about stuff that's just incredibly old. And the engineering that came out of this era spread throughout Europe because of, obviously, the Roman Empire. And this was a massive burst to the all of growth of all of Europe. And if you don't believe me, go ask the guy who played RoboCop. Because he literally has a PhD in this. And the thing about Rome too is if ancient Rome isn't your thing, you can go to the Vatican, which, don't forget, was the most powerful seat of power in all of Europe for 1,000 years. We're doing a cast on Warhammer 40K. We talk about the Emperor of Mankind. You should visit the Vatican. you realize there's some references there. But if you do go, though, one fun little note. You go to the Vatican, do a little tour inside the Vatican. One of the coolest parts in it, they've got a bunch of globes. And the globes started in the 1400s. And you can see as they kept discovering more and more of the Americas, how much they thought the Americas, how much space that the Americas actually were. At first, it's Cuba and Florida. And then it's a little bit more. And eventually, it actually fills into a whole thing. And the best part is you get to do all that while eating. You have gelato, you have cacio, carbonara, which I'm more into, grecia, which is fine, but the magical fiori di zucca is freaking incredible. Carfiori is fine. I think it's a little bit too oily, but whatever. So anyway, go to Rome or go to Tuscany, if I'm being completely honest, or Bologna. Actually, kind of go really anywhere. You'll be fine. But lastly, our Discord. Join our Discord. It's fun. Our Discord rocks. It's a great place to interact with other people. I cannot recommend a Discord enough. Lore, fan fiction, fan theories, literature, gaming, everything. We're about to have a very big year of 40K. At time of recording, we're coming right up on June. And this year, we're going to get a new edition plus 1 to 2 video games. There's going to be a lot of new books, a new Dan Abnett novel. There's a lot coming out this year, and I'm very excited about our Discord being a place where people can come for advice on that. And the best thing about all that, Discord's free, as it should be. So, anyway, let's get into, actually, you know what? I haven't thanked the mods in a while. Big thank you to our moderators in Discord. We've had a lot going on in the Discord recently, and I haven't thanked them in a long time. The moderators who run our Discord have done a magical job of kind of crafting it and really supporting it, making it a great
place. Not even just a good job, a magical job.
They have, because it really is a fantastic place, especially with what's kind of coming up and how things are moving along, to really make it what it is. So big thank you to all of them.
By the time you guys read this, we will have already had our second 40K fight night from the Discord, where we're setting up games.
And our second painting competition.
Yes. Mm. We got a lot of people to put out stuff.
Yeah, some really good stuff.
Some good stuff, too.
I know.
Ooh.
All right. So let's get into a big oopsie.
The Legion of the Damned.
Yeah, we're going to call this a giant oopsie on the part of GW. All right. So what happens when you read The Return of the King and get a super cool idea for a Space Marine chapter? Simple. You make the most OP thing in the galaxy, and then you have to deal with the entire player base demanding more and more about them while you desperately try to scrub them from everyone's memory. I mean, sorry. It's just true. This chapter is basically part God. So, Legion of the Damned. Let's get into what they are, because it's kind of... The Legion of the Damned are kind of an Astartes chapter. And I say kind of because they wear power armor, sort of.
They're not maybe a chapter.
Yeah, they appear to
be. They're not even governed by anybody.
Yeah, cool. Well, we don't know anything. They look like a space marine wearing black power armor with skull iconography that are encased in fire, that psychic fire that sometimes turns into all fire.
They made Ghost Rider a space marine. Yeah, I'm saying.
This is going to be such a pain in the ass to do. Oh, so the Legion
Ghost Rider space marines. Ooh, we should do that.
No, we should not.
100%.
Ghost Rider is not a good comic book made worse by the movie.
Look, just if you're going to ever shit on the work of the esteemed Oscar-winning actor Nick Cage, I don't even know what you're talking about here.
Oh, God, Face Off sucks. Anyway.
By the way, he did win an Oscar.
Did he really?
Yes.
For what?
Nick Cage won an Oscar for Leaving Las Vegas. He was amazing at Leaving Las Vegas, actually.
Oh, yeah. I forgot about Leaving Las Vegas.
He's been really good at a couple movies.
Blind nut and a squirrel, huh? Anyway. All right. So let's get into these guys. The Legion of the Damned. They are... They appear from nowhere.
We forgot. Hold on. We didn't give it justice. It's not just encased in fire. It is magic fire.
You know, I said that. It's psychic fire. It's they are encased in a psychic fire. They are clad in an all-black power armor, the flames. So they're kind of like a hot rod, but they're also on fire, which is really an actual hot rod, if we're being honest. They're not that well. Most people's hot rods aren't that well made. Sorry. They've got skulls all over them, like the kneecaps, the belts. Some of them have them on the rib cages painted where the Aquila would be. Don't do that. It makes them look weird. They don't look good. Do not do that. It makes the armor look weird. But the Scaplin skull a lot of times too, I don't always love that. The best way to paint them is if you look at the cover of the sixth edition codex that they got, the only codex they ever got. That thing looks awesome.
Well, they also have the flames on the shin pads.
Yeah.
I don't know why I call them shin pads.
I this goes back to my hot rod thing. I mean, look, we both know what year you were born. I understand flames on cars is something that's kind of cool to you.
Pretty awesome, I think.
It's not cool to me. So
T-top Camaro with flames on it, yo.
There would be something fun to someone doing a like white trash Space Marine army where like every vehicle has flames on it. You like where you T-top your rhinos. It would be fun. All right, but let's get serious. Well, not really. But the Legion of the Damned, what they're known for is fighting with fury and power that's unseen throughout the galaxy. These guys fight harder and stronger than any Space Marine chapter, which then kind of create, this is where the problem for GW starts to come in. Because the Legion of the Damned, they're also corporeal in their form.
Corporeal.
They exist and don't exist at the exact same time. Because the descriptions are that an enemy will shoot them and they will shrug off what should be mortal wounds. They specifically call out firepower that would eliminate a Terminator. These guys just shrug off. Like a regular Space Marine just shrugs off like it's nothing. And other times, the plasma and las blasts go right through them.
Which is why they used to have a three-up involved.
Yeah. It's just stupid. Another one I loved, there was a pack, I think five of them took a volcano cannon to the face and they just walked on through it.
So, yep.
Yeah. And that was in the codex. Not like side story.
Yep.
In the codex. And then their attacks, though, are the opposite. They are not pretend. They hit harder than anything. And made worse by the fact that their attacks are actually more powerful than they should be. It's referred to as they've never been seen to reload. Their weapons actually, the bolts that they fire hit harder. They're kind of Astartes orcs where like...
They show up, they effectively portal in all the time, which is, I think, pretty cool.
Well, that's cool. But what I mean is their weapons fire the way orc weapons fire, where it's like, it looks like a bolter and it just does the damage that it should do. All of their ordnance. But what's crazy is there's no evidence of it. So, for example, their bolters fire, but there's no shell casings. There's nothing left afterwards. And they, to what Brad was just saying, they appear and disappear from in an instant. They don't arrive on spaceships or even through portals. They just appear. And then when they're gone, they're just not there, which makes them really hard to know much about, as a lot of their history and facts about them are inferred. So here we go. Let's give it a shot. So the Inquisition, the way GW's written them is sometimes when GW does something, they say, oh, they're a such and such of mystery, but we're going to spill all the beans to you, but know that the people of the 40K universe don't know anything. Other times, what they give to us, the reader, is what the people of the 40K times know. The Legion of the Damned are the latter. In the Legion of the Damned, we know kind of what the Inquisition knows. That's the most information we have, which is at best a piece together thing. The Inquisition are fascinated by the Legion of the Damned because they're trying to figure out mainly their purpose, but also how they can exist. The most important thing for the Inquisition is the Legion of the Damned appear to be loyalist because they always show up and fight in the side of the Imperium, and they always show up when the situation is most dire.
They show up a lot when things are, there is no possible way we're winning today. That's when they show up.
Yeah.
Legion of the Damned don't show up.
It is over.
To punch down.
Oh, yeah. Things are over when they show up. But it's even beyond that, because they seem to have a level of foresight in what they do, because they show up at exactly the right place at exactly the right time for maximum efficiency. And the cool thing is we can actually pull some stories, because as you all know, I love Codex lore, and they had a Codex with great lore in it. So there was the planet was...
That's it.
Godbug.
Download this, guys. For anybody you're excited at all about this, this might be one of the top 10 codexes that just have great lore. So it's worth a download.
Because they killed this thing right afterwards.
Yeah, but they have the codex lore, which is why you love it so much, has some great stories. Codexes have stories on each page. So
this one's really, really good. So you have the Hive Fleet, the Tyranid Hive Fleet, Moloch was invading the planet Godba. And Godba was a weapons testing planet for the Admech. And so the tech priests there were like, screw you guys, Baneblade time. And they took a bunch of Baneblades and Shadow Swords right into them. But this Hive Fleet was massive and actually started gaining ground. They started overwhelming it. And the call went out to get reinforcements. But because of the way warp travel is, the reinforcements were at least
they weren't going to come in time.
Yeah.
Yep. And they are getting overwhelmed. The Unyielding Swarm is pretty much from this Hive Fleet, by the way, if you're looking at the game right now.
And what I might love about this story is, like any good Imperial Guard, the Imperial Guard there made preparations to die for the Emperor in glory. They got ready, and they were going to open the hatch, and they basically all got together, and we're going to charge out bayonet first into the Hive Fleet, and we're going down like champions. And as soon as they opened the hatch, there's just a bunch of all black space marines shredding the Hive Fleet right in front of them.
The cooler part was there's just unending swarms of gaunts, and they are getting past, even with them putting down just a hail of bolter fire. These gaunts are just launching themselves at the Legion of the Damned and are just getting in fuego burnt up. Yep. Just exploding into fire as they touch them.
And what happens is then the Legion of the Damned form like a barrier and begin escorting these guardsmen from the section they were in to another area where there was a whole nother chunk of these were doom hammers. And they go over there. They then get into the doom hammers, and this lets them push out again back into the Hive Fleet. And the combo of Legion of the Damned and doom hammers is enough that the Hive Fleet then pulls out. Hive Fleet Moloch ends up leaving, and they save the planet.
And I love this because as soon as the actual danger is gone, they weren't even done fighting.
Oh, yeah, they're just gone.
As soon as the...
Yep.
Yeah, they were instantly gone. It is not like after the fight they were gone. It was, hey, you guys are good. Cool.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. It gets a 51% chance of victory. All right, we're out. Bye.
Then just gone. They're like, see you later. The odds are perfect now. You're like, it's pretty grim fighting still. You got this. Yeah. I'm out.
Another one I like a lot, though, is they have what appear to be Eldar Farseer foresight. They know the people and events that will happen, and they step in to ensure positive outcomes. So there's an astral dock of Luna. The Legion appeared there to save a salamander kill team. They were trapped there by a renegade chapter of the Draco Clan. It's a renegade inquisitor. Cool story, different cast. We'll get into that. But this kill team was trapped in this airlock, basically. They're all going to die. Legion of Damage shows up, saves them, kills the guys, disappears. That kill team, short while later, makes a key discovery that prevents a shuttle loaded with explosives from crashing into the Terran archives, which would have devastated the Adeptus Administratum in a bad way, by the way. I need to make it clear when we say devastated the Adeptus Administratum, not in a like, oh, it would have devastated them and all the indentured servants would have been set free, a bad way.
As in, we're shutting everything down logistics. Yeah. Planets are going to starve.
Yeah, yeah, food doesn't. Another one was this planet called Tharlon. And the planet Tharlon, there's a tech priest there named Vidrillion. Vidrillion is trying to escape. They show up and aid in the escape of this tech priest. Short while later, this tech priest is the person who unlocks a key STC. This STC allows for a cure for a virus attack by Fabius Bile.
Which is cracks me the hell up because you know how annoying it is? He's a villain, but it would be so annoying. Fabius Bile makes all of these plans, works tirelessly to make this new virus, And this guy shows up and goes, it says if I push the button, it negates that. He's just like, this can't be real, this man.
Not fair.
Come on.
But yeah, Fadrillion saves trillions of lives only because the Legion of the Damned had shown up and saved him on Tharlan. So this, they see this a lot with him. It's circular.
And at the time, he's, before this happens, he's a random.
Oh, he's a nobody.
At the time he gets saved, he's super nobody.
Yeah. But the Inquisition's question always is, what is the purpose of the Legion? Because their ability to appear at will, know the future, and operate with supernatural abilities, it's pretty clear these are, they're warp powered. But the Inquisition 100%. Is always worried, are they loyal? Is this just a really elaborate, you know, traps?
Are they loyal, but using heresy? Zeech's plans are often so convoluted, they escape Zeech. So,
but the Inquisition has devoted a lot of energy and focus to learning all they can about the Legion of the Damned.
Yeah, but the problem is that they don't know where they go. They don't know how they're traveling. They know it's some sort of warp travel. They think it's some sort of warp travel. They have to assume, but they show up willy-nilly where they want, and they also don't know where they go back to, so they can't predict where they're going, because a lot of the things that they do make absolutely no sense.
Yeah, I mean,
they show up, they have their own goals and plan, apparently, because they don't have a coordinated, this is leading to this. It's just, it is.
Well, and they're also almost impossible to study, because they don't travel on ships, so you can't see them coming. They appear in an instant, so okay. And they don't hang around and high-five everybody afterwards, except there's one, there is, in the novel, there's one dude to stick around a little bit afterwards. We get some knowledge in one novel. But if you want to study them, in effect, you have to be there when they show up. Means you have to be on one of the million-plus Imperial worlds, almost, or almost infinite platforms, spaceships, hostile worlds, and all those places they could potentially show up. Then to make things worse, there's the amnesia thing, which is wild.
If you're going to be Legion of the Damned, you have to show up with a Men in Black memory device, which I think is what they're flashing to everybody. This is actually really funny because it's super cool, but it's also kind of sketchy because people will start to forget about the event of the Legion of the Damned showing up, but they'll have horrific nightmares about it.
Yeah, it's kind of funny. So what happens is within minutes of the Legion of the Damned leaving, you begin forgetting their presence, depending on your strength. The Space Marines seem to be able to remember them for a bit longer, obviously, because they're Astartes. But what's funny they talk about is that people, like the regular humans who see them, get pretty badly messed up. Because they will forget the Legion of Damned was there, but they'll have one of many side effects. The most common one are nightmares, but some of them have a permanent smell or taste of burning.
Burning, yeah.
Forever. And a lot of the people actually end up committing suicide because of the dreams and this permanent sense of burning, which it shows that it's probably some warhole pulls it out of
them. Yes. Oh, also think about it. They cause so much craziness to people around them that they corrupt me. Well, I guess they don't corrupt. Well, kind of they do. Machine spirits.
I don't think it's just corrupt machine spirits. They seem to scare them is how I read it. So what happens is a lot of times cameras will just turn off when they show up. But in the rare occasions the cameras are live, the machine spirit kind of disappears into itself and it has to be coaxed back out. It talked that only the best tech priest can actually basically get the machine spirit to come out of its shell, as if the machine spirits are running and hiding from this entity. So it's kind of like, oh. So long story short, Legion of the Damned kind of messed up. Now, it's pretty safe to say the Inquisition have accepted that the Legion of the Damned are not chaos.
Yeah, but you know who was also not chaos? Horus.
Yes.
Horus was the War Master. He was the guy in charge of the Loyalist Imperium.
Exactly.
Also, and, hey, yes, I know these guys are doing good right now, but if they ever decided to do bad, an army of guys that can show up anywhere in the galaxy with absolutely no detection and leave before we can do anything about it, is still pretty terrifying, dude.
Because that's the biggest fear, is the what if they turn? Because the level at which they can go is insane. 999 M41, the Phalanx. So the super Star Destroyer.
Largest ship in the galaxy. Yeah.
The Star Destroyer. Well, sorry, the Death Star of the Imperial Fist. Say,
Death Star seems more accurate. Yeah.
The Imperial Fist Death Star is orbiting Terra when a warp rift bursts open in the lower decks and warp smith Shantu emerges with a bunch of demons and starts wreaking havoc. The Imperial Fist rush down there to deal with it. And as they rush there, Shantu pulls off what he was really trying to do. And Bellicor comes striding out of the warp rift.
Which is never a good thing.
Not ideal. Less than ideal. And now that Bellicor is there, things are real bad. Realizing that the Phalanx is about to fall to chaos, the Imperial Fists, because they actually are kind of badasses, just hit the go away button and translate the thing right into the warp, which means, yeah, there's Geller fields, but Geller fields on the outside and Bellicor on the inside isn't not really ideal. Thing. Yeah. So the entirety of this ship now is, this is the end. We're going to lose. We've got Bellicor's wreaking havoc until all of a sudden the Legion of the Damned arrive on the inside too. And they watch as the Legion of the Damned start burning up demons and wreaking havoc through the demons. And as the Legion of the Damned fight and fight, the Imperial Fists are able to, you know, recenter themselves, charge in, and just start beating the crap out of everything. And guess who still has the Phalanx? The Imperial Fists.
It is funny because they were setting people that are on fire on fire.
It is a thing. We'll talk more about that later with some issue things. Another one is because they actually save a lot of legions, including perfect legions, even because only a perfect legion admits to their imperfections. And so
this is the only part that sucks about us recording not in the same place anymore is I can't immediately throw something at you when you say things like this.
What? Look, when you're a perfect legion, you understand that sometimes even you can need help. And so it's nice. So in 922 of M41, the greatest of the librarians, which you even can't argue with.
Tiggy is awesome.
Tiggy was working to save the tech priests of Andraxis. Andraxis housed an ancient artifact of quite a lot of significance, namely that it's a force staff that belonged to Malkador.
I was going to say, it was Malkador's force staff.
Yeah, this one's kind of important. And Andraxis is under assault by orcs. Lots of orcs. And Tiggy and the Ultramarines unfortunately pulled a Brad in which...
I don't know how I feel about you making that.
They did. They grossly underestimated the value and awesomeness of the Dacker Jet. That is the story. That is the actual story.
I'm not arguing that. I feel like we need to go up to the top where it says... pulled a Brad.
They did pull a Brad. They underestimated the value of a Dacker Jet and a Waz Bomb Blaster Jet and a Burna Bomber and a Blitzer Bomber. And it's a sixth edition. So also the Chinook was still around back then.
Warcopter.
Yeah. Effectively. Yeah. So the orcs had air superiority and this was too much for the Ultramarines. So Tiggy and his Ultramarines rushed to the bastion where the staff was and they secured the staff, but were completely surrounded by orcs. But before the orcs could set upon them, the Legion appeared and just slaughtered the orcs. As the Legion just wrecked the orcs, Tiggy and the Mechanicum made their escape. A fun story, though. Tiggy never gave the staff back. He went there with the Mechanicum, and guess who has the staff? The Perfect Legion.
He did roll out and go, hey, remember the time we had that artifact? Yeah. Will we still have it? See you later. Goodbye.
Exactly, yeah. If you have a question about it, I'll be in McCraig.
You know what? I'm putting in this cast, the Chinook Warcopter story. What, it'll Please. Take 30 seconds. Oops. So Alan comes into Toledo to play in a tournament under a fake name. He didn't want me to know he was coming. Shows up running only like Warcopters.
Those things are awesome, by the way.
We play at a five. Well, no, this is the best. We play at a five game tournament. Both of us go undefeated. Both of us, unfortunately, the last game, we're both on two different tables. Alan, of course, maxes because he goes YOLO swaggins, wins the tournament. He, by the way, came in specifically to make me not win the tournament. Doesn't have to play me. Leaves. They legends the Warcopters the next day.
That tracks. That thing was awesome, by the way. Those copters were, yeah. They were
sending me the
so OP. Oh my God. If you,
when
you
he put, made the MasterCard meme on it too. Yeah. Beating Brad was something they got legends. Priceless.
Yeah. I mean, that copter, when you put flamers inside of it, was horrifying.
It sustained on its regular shots. Yeah. Sustained too.
Yeah. Those were good days. All right. But
the days of yore.
We'll be right back after a quick break.
Starting a business is a massive challenge. You have an idea, but before you can ever get to doing that idea, you have to do 100 other tasks that are not that idea. One of the biggest challenges can be the commerce side of a business. I learned this the hard way, but finding a quality partner for your business is one of the most important things you can do. Companies that will actually support you as you grow, and more importantly, help you grow. For millions of businesses, that tool is Shopify. Shopify is the commerce platform behind millions of businesses around the world and 10% of all e-commerce inside the US. Accelerate your efficiency, whether you're uploading new products or trying to improve existing ones. Shopify is packed with helpful AI tools that write product descriptions, page headlines, and even enhance your product photography. Best yet, Shopify is your commerce expert with world-class expertise in everything from managing inventory to international shipping to processing returns and beyond. And what if you get stuck? Shopify is always around to share advice with their award-winning 24/7 customer support. Tackle all those important tasks in one place, from inventory to payments to analytics and more. No need to save multiple websites or try to figure out what platform is hosting the tool that you need. Everything is all in one place, making your life easier and your business operations smoother. Start your business today with the industry's best partner, Shopify, and start hearing. Sign up for your $1 per month trial today at shopify.com/lore. Go to shopify.com/lore. That's shopify.com/lore.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. For some, summer is their favorite season. Travel picks up, kids are out of school, and adventure is the focus. For others, juggling it all can be tough, and that can lead to overwhelm and counting down the minutes until kids are back in school. And many worry they're wasting the days of sunshine. I know for me, summer can be a little bit tough, as I'm juggling a lot more with work, in addition to the regular families, hobbies, and friends. I often feel overwhelmed, and that overwhelming leads to feelings of stress as I worry that I'm letting others down. This at times leads me to actually dread the summer months, which then makes me mad at myself for dreading some of the best times of the year. With BetterHelp, you can be matched with quality therapists with care and reliability. BetterHelp does the initial matching work for you so you can focus on your therapy goals. A short questionnaire helps identify your needs and preferences, and their 12-plus years of experience and industry-leading match fulfillment rate means they typically get it right the first time. And if you aren't happy with your match, switch to a different therapist at any time from their tailored recommendations. BetterHelp is one of the world's largest online therapy platforms, with over 30,000 therapists having served over 6 million people globally. You don't have to say yes to everything this summer. Find support in therapy. Sign up and get 10% off at BetterHelp.com. That's BetterHelp.com.
Now, where GW, when we talk about them writing the Legion of Dan Biz OP, I have a really good example of this, and that's Thersuius. So Thersuius.
You mean where Dark Eldar sent every named character in the Codex?
Yeah.
Got it.
So the Cabal of the Black Heart had a plan to target a planet for a raid, and they sent Leweth to take part in it. And this is because the entire raid was designed by Vect himself, because he knew that Thersuius was close to a Black Templar fleet that was rearming. And in that fleet, Helbrecht was in that fleet. And Vect wanted to kidnap Helbrecht for his arena.
To fight in the arena. Yeah. Yes.
So he sent Leleth armed with a special poison blade to stab Helbrecht to incapacitate him to bring him back to Kamara.
And in Vex.
Hold on. Let's circle back on that, Brad. Poison. Been a while.
No, it hasn't. I was literally coaching this morning from somebody from the Lorecast Discord, and we started off with poison.
Yeah.
So it is, I haven't even got through the morning talking about Space Marine poison. Yeah. Also burn. You know what? I'm just going to go to the, get my chi together, my woosah. Mm-hmm. Vex's plan is going perfect because Vex is a hell of a skier.
Yeah.
Yeah. And everything is going great. Slaves are being captured. People are being stabbed.
Oh, yeah. And this is great. A plus raid. Yeah.
Helbrecht shows up with Black Templars. And Leleth goes, oh, look, right on time. I'm going to do some stabby, stabby poison stuff and take this guy back. And what should happen did happen with the poison, though.
Yeah. She poisons Helbrecht, and as Helbrecht falls to unconsciousness, he sees a foot with flames on it right next to him. And the Legion of the Damned beat the ever-living piss out of Leleth, and she has to retreat. So the Legion of the Damned are the best hand-to-hand combat army in the galaxy.
Hold on. Do the Legion of the Damned's boots of mighty ass-kicking would be on fire? They have the best boots of mighty ass kicking.
Well, actually, that wouldn't be on. Well, they're on fire. They would have flames on them.
Good enough for me.
Good enough for
it
me.
Makes them double your enhancement bonus.
Yeah. I know people don't understand how serious this is. Leleth is maybe the best melee fighter in the galaxy. And they're like, oh, yeah, the Legion of Damned just beat the crap out of her. Wait.
What? By the way, they're also known for their shooting. They're not even known for their hand-to-hand. Yeah. Legion of the Damned didn't punch anybody in any of the stories until right then.
Yeah. But let's talk about what the Inquisition thinks it might know about the Legion of the Damned. It's kind of one of those things. Like, they think they might know something. So what do they know? They know that they're beings of the warp. And the way that they operate leaves very little the imagination about them being beings of the warp. They appear all around the galaxy at an instant, which is, it's technically possible that they're a standard chapter that's using a webway or a dolmen gate or Necron phase shifting, but it's not really possible because the way they appear, like inside the phalanx, means a webway or a dolmen gate's unlikely.
Well, they clearly have some sort of psychic ability, or they breathe the psychic winds, because they have wild precog too, so they have to be using warp powers somehow.
Yeah, but let's get to the fun part, because now we can mention Eisenhorn. One of the key inquisitors, be careful here because I do not want to spoil anything, one of the key inquisitors who investigated the Legion of the Damned is Quixos. Quixos had been compiling quite the research tome on the Legion. He'd been doing a lot of stuff, for being honest, a lot of stuff. So read the Eisenhorn novels, a lot of stuff. He's awesome. But Quixos noticed a pattern. And the pattern is that the appearance of the Legion of the Damned is that they always appear where the barrier between the materium and the immaterium is thinnest. Which sounds really super scientific until you remember how the warp operates. You know, the thing that feeds off emotion. So anytime people are dying or fighting, the warp gets fed. So wouldn't that always thin the barrier? So you're in... In other words, duh. So, anyway, but Quixos postulated that the Legion were some sort of warp beings and that it was actually the Emperor's will made manifest, like a shard of the Emperor's faith. And this tracks with some of their history, because the Legion didn't start appearing till M40. By M40, the Imperium is full, unadulterated worship of the Emperor.
Oh, I was just about to say this. In the last millennia in the stories, the Emperor has powered up pretty crazily. Yeah.
Plus, we have the Psyker wood chipper that the Adeptus Telepathica is running at this point.
I mean, 1,000 Psykers a day is a big deal.
Yeah, so this psychic force being thrown around in the Emperor's name is incredible. So why couldn't it manifest? And this belief is held by most everyone about the Legion, that they are an army of vengeance and flame created by the will of humanity and it using like supernatural powers. Although I do wonder, what happens if they showed up in the same place the Grey Knights were?
Do they shut them down?
Yeah. What do the Grey Knights do about it? It's just kind of one of those, like, you know what, guys? Like, if Drago's there, right? Is he like, you know what? Let's let him cook.
Drago's been doing so much warp dust. He's going to let it go.
It's just like, let's see what this happens here. You think Adeline will deal something, but I say we let the Legion do what Legion does. Just give him a minute. Let's give him a minute. Just a question. But this leads us to the three main theories of where the Legion comes from. One of them is the most accepted, but there are three of them, and I would give them all to you guys, and we'll get into it. The first theory is that the Legion have no origin. They are simply a creation of the warp by the will of the Emperor and his light. The idea in this is that the warp is the inverse of the materium, and so what exists in the materium can also exist in the immaterium.
Same in the warp.
So as the legions of the Astartes have grown and fought in the materium, they've created an echo in the immaterium. And eventually, this psychic or warp presence of their power and strength has manifested, like a shadow version of the Astartes. Not like an evil Spock or evil Michael Knight, which I still do think someone, by the way, should make their own Chaos Space Marine chapter. Just make an Imperial Fist or Ultramarine, whatever chapter. No one can have a helmet. But everyone has to have
Everybody has to wear a goatee.
Everyone has to have a goatee. It's the evil twin of like whatever army you want to have. It would be awesome.
Goatee and a ponytail.
It would be hilarious to anyone over the age of 40. Just calling it out. All right. But the idea is that this Legion of the Damned are just demons. Demons in service to the Emperor. So of course, they're going to manifest themselves to appear as the Emperor's warriors. This explains a lot. This theory works because it explains why they're wreathed in psychic fire, why their fire can burn demons. Because, hey guys, by the way, in case no one ever thought about this, why do flamers work on bloodletters? Bloodletters come from a region of fire, and you're shooting them with a flamer. Should do, you know, nothing. But dice are dice and rules are rules. Same way poison worked on Necrons. this also explains how they can appear from nowhere because the thin veil between the materium and immaterium, boom, they pop in. And it accounts for some of the stories of how sometimes when the Legion of the Damned are fighting, if the fighting gets so intense, they would actually stop appearing to be space marines. They would actually turn into pillars of fire and fight. So that's kind of cool.
Which is pretty freaking awesome, by the way.
Yeah.
Period.
Now, that story's, though, it's got some challenges with some of the other information we have out there. So it's a cool idea, and it's quite possible it's true. The second one is a bit more common, and it's the one that I'll admit I like more. This is the one I think most of us like the most. It may be the third one we're going to get to is the one that's maybe the most factual. We'll get into it. But this
one. I love D&D Revenants so much that I love this theory.
That's fair. So this next one is that they are a collection of Astartes who basically their love of the Emperor and their hate of their enemies, they just wouldn't accept death. So if you played the God of War games, Kratos, that's what this is.
Dude, Kratos rocks.
Yeah.
You're like, what are your powers? I'm super mad. I can get behind that. I live my life like this.
So it's believed in this one that the Legion of the Damned are actually headed by Therus Manus, who, along with the members of the 10th Legion at Istvan, were so angered at the betrayal that they just refused to die. It feels like their souls die. And their souls have been sitting in the immaterium for almost 10,000 years.
Wandering about. Yeah. Like hope, basically wandering, hoping for vengeance, but so angry they wouldn't leave.
Yeah. And then as the Emperor and the Imperium gained power, that power found a home in these Astartes souls. And these souls became a conduit. And eventually, thanks to the will of the Emperor, they can now manifest in reality. But they're not alone. Other legionaries have died. The same way, fueled by this unquenchable hate for the enemies of the Imperium. And they've joined the ranks of the Imperium.
And you should be able to smite Paladin of Vengeance.
And it kind of worked because we get in the novel, which is actually called Legion of the Damned, we meet the only talking member of this.
Centurius.
Yeah, Atticus Centurius, which, by the way, translates to 100 Athens. Why? I don't know.
Because he's 100 times Athens, duh. Yeah. Move on.
There's times where their use of Latin confuses me. It's like, I don't get this. Like, it's like, why? Just why? Centurius always means whatever. But anyway, in the novel, Centurius is able to both resurrect fallen legionnaires, but more importantly, recruit dead legionnaires
to the Legion of the Damned.
And if you guys thought I wasn't going to make this about the Ultramarines, suck it. We're back. More Ultramarines. Yay. Octavius, captain of one of the greatest of the first companies. Well, probably the greatest of first companies. The Ultramarines first company. He died at some point defending Ultramar from one of its many aggressors.
I wish we were video right now so people could see how badly I rolled my eyes during that.
Don't give yourself a migraine.
too late.
So Octavius dies. His death is entered into the annals of the Ultramarines, but his grave is now actually empty. Coincidentally, the Ultramarines have on a few occasions found themselves benefiting from the support of the Legion of the Damned, being saved the very last second by a key interruption by the Legion. But it's been noted by a few observers that one of the captains in the ranks of the Legion has a holy relic of Ultramar hanging from his armor, a relic that was buried with Octavius, showing that Octavius was able to join the Legion of the Damned. So I really prefer this story. I love this idea that the Legion of the Damned is made up of Astartes who just refuse to let death be the end of their story. They're just basically too much ass to kick in the galaxy for one lifetime. And, you know, by the way, if you don't think that GW is going to do this with Titus, you're out of your mind. If GW decides to kill Titus, that'll be the sign.
1,000% he's coming back.
Yeah, that'll be the sign that the Legion of the Damned are entering the game. It'll be like, oh yeah, Titus died. Wait, why did Titus die? Oh, Legion of the Damned are getting a codex. And look, Titus is the new chapter master. But let's get to the last and what is probably the most plausible of the origin stories.
It's the most plausible. Mm-hmm. I think this is generally considered to be, and I'm heavy air quoting it though, this is the canon. I like the second more.
We all do.
Because it's just Marines that refuse to end without getting vengeance on people that did wrong to them.
Yeah.
Is just so badass. Now the story, don't get me wrong, Firehawks is cool, but it's just not endless vengeance, not letting, you know what? I haven't referred to him in a long time. It's not Talana Moss levels of anger and vengeance. Also, that's Steven Erikson, Malazan, Book of the Fallen. But continue.
No, fair enough. So the Firehawks, this is what's considered maybe the most accepted origin story of the Damned. And this is by the Imperium and the Inquisition, but not by GW. So when I say this, GW has written the story. So make sure people understand this. GW has written the story of the Firehawks into the 6th edition Codex. But in it, they claim it as a possible origin story. So despite this having a lot of details, it is not meant to be the correct one. It's just an option. So just so everyone understands that, it's a really key thing. I like they did that. So we don't have to accept this as canon. Now, Firehawks, they were founded in M36 as part of the 21st founding, the cursed founding. So the lamest of the foundings. We get black dragons with useless arm blades. We both know they're useless, Brad. We have the Lamenters, who were the sad chapter. The Blood Gorgons.
They're lamenting.
Yeah, the Blood Gorgons, who went traitor because they were sharing organs with each other. Weird. Just weird. The Flame Falcons, who were exterminated by the Grey Knights because they were Johnny Storm. The original Minotaurs, who were Berserkers. And the Sons of Antaeus, who were Wolverine. All right? That's the breakdown. Firehawks, who claimed to be of ultramarine origin, were also founded. Fun note, the ultramarines are not willing to acknowledge that they were of it until they go on Mori. Their viewpoint is,
you are the father.
Yeah, until we go on Mori, you're not, I'm not claiming anything here. The best way to describe the Firehawks is they're a fun combination of Black Templars, Sisters of Battle, and Minotaurs, in that they feel about the people who don't align with the Emperor's vision of the galaxy pretty strongly. Pretty strongly.
They've got some views. You would say that maybe they're concrete views. Yeah.
Yeah. And they're
inflexible, is where I'm getting at.
Yeah. And their viewpoint of collateral damage is very much so Ivan Drago. If they die, they die.
Die.
They're known for, they're weird too in the way that they fight. They're very quick to fight, but only for themselves. They have a very weird twist. Everyone hated them, by the way. Like, everyone hated them because they would just refuse to take part in actions that they didn't see as benefiting themselves. So if someone says,
also, if they were going to suffer casualties,
they say, yeah, I'm not doing that.
They kind of cherry picked a lot of their fights, dude.
Yeah, it's weird though. They wouldn't cherry pick the fights. They would just say, oh, if someone says, hey, can you help us out over here? They'd just be like, no, like, but you're a spaceman chapter. Yeah, no. But then they would go and they would take on hardcore fights that were of their own purpose. They just wouldn't care about other people's purposes, is how I kind of looked at it.
Yeah, I'll give you that. When shit went down, they did get...
That's the thing, because they also have a history of starting crap. So Goj Vandir, key one. Goj Vandir rises to power, starts wrecking the galaxy. Almost every Space Marine Legion just goes, whatever, I'm staying out of this. The Firehawks not only got involved, but they led. They bat Sebastian Thor and aided him personally on his crusade. And for that action, Goj Vandir exterminatus their home planet, which sounds really bad, but they lost a bunch of home planets. They're like Kevin McAllister's parents leaving him behind. Like,
they get left all over the place.
Yeah, that's right.
I mean, they are kind of responsible for the Badab War as well.
They are responsible for the Badab War. They started the Badab War.
The negotiation factor of jabbing the guy in the face while he's talking to you didn't really go well.
They're the ones who opened fire on the Mantis Warriors.
They attacked
Warriors.
The Mantis Warriors. Yeah.
Started the Badab War.
By the way, if you go back to that, they were mid-talking when they opened fire. Yeah. And that's the whole thing.
Yeah, the Firehawks, they're testy. The thing about them too, though, is that they are, though, incredibly loyal. They worship, this is M36, by the way, so we are not M41. M36, they worship the Emperor as a god. They were the first Space Marine chapter to be full-blown Imperial cult.
They'll also stab you if you question the Emperor's divinity.
Yeah, they were the word bearers from M36 to M41, in effect, because they would spread the Emperor's divinity and they would smite anyone who disagreed with the Emperor's divinity. And like the Minotaurs, they would fight with a lot of collateral damage. It's a really important piece. They would exterminate us entire planets because whatever, that's just easier than taking a casualty or two. And another fun story, they didn't get along well with the rest of the Imperium. The other Astartes didn't like them because they kept leaving them high and dry. The Imperial Navy and Imperial Guard also hated them because they did the same crap to them, leaving them high and dry or just blowing half of them up because they were too close to the enemy. They would just exterminate a planet the Imperial Guard were fighting on. Like, oh, yeah, this will be easier. Virus bomb. Boop. That's just how they operated. So they kind of sucked. So then 963 of M41, the Firehawks disappeared. And they disappeared in a kind of interesting way. Dark Eldar pirates are being dicks in the Crow's World subsector. As a result, the Firehawks are sent out there. Now, Key thing about this, when they supported Sebastian Thor and they lost their homeworld, Sebastian Thor hooked them up and he gave them what's called the Raptorus Rex.
I was going to say, hooked them up is like a really chill term for the fact that he gave them a smaller Death Star.
Yeah, it's a smaller version of Phoenix.
He didn't give him free chicken on Thursdays. That's a hookup, man. A powerful Death Star superstation is slightly better than a hookup.
I do laugh about this a lot. So they became a fleet-based chapter with, a Death Star that they moved around with. Fun thing about this, so the Drukhari are out there, Crow's World subsector, just raiding stuff. One really good way to shut the Drukhari down. Are they fast? Yeah. They have cool guns. Yeah. They're effectively unarmored. So a Death Star fortress showing up shuts them down pretty quick. Yeah.
Big hair in a bikini is the only way to go into combat, my friend.
Yeah, so the Firehawks chapter was sent out there for what was supposed to be a 3-hour tour. Oh, come on. Really?
A 3-hour
tour. Thank you. Come on. Help me out here.
Was the warp storm getting rough?
Yeah, it actually was. The tiny ship got tossed. Luckily, the noble crew, the Raptorus Rex, wasn't lost. I haven't heard that theme song in a long time. I'm trying to do this a lot by memory now. But the Raptorus Rex, it was supposed to be a 12-hour journey. 20 years later, they're officially declared lost in the warp. Now, it was the entirety of the chapter was sent out there. It was rumored, though, that the Assassinorum had something to do with this, for the record, because they were really not liked by the Imperium. There is a rumor there. Now, what happens, though, is that there's some real weird hints to the Firehawks and the Legion of the Damned. So, as I said, they disappear in 963 of M41. The first appearance of the Legion of the Damned is 985 of M41 in the Jekoral Tal sector, fighting the orcs. It's a random sector out there. So while this is happening, they keep having these fights against the orcs. While they're out there, an unidentified craft is discovered, and inside it are two coffins. And inside it, they examine the coffins, and in that, they find that there's members of the Firehawks were in these coffins. This is the first time we've seen a Firehawk ever. So it shows the Firehawks had returned, but no one has heard from the Firehawks. So that's kind of weird. Later, and this is going to drive me nuts, and I'm sorry, fighting against the orcs, the Legion leaves behind one of their banners. And on it is inscribed, Dedicato Imperatat Ultra Artaculo Mortus. According to GW, that says, for the Emperor being the point of death.
By the way, I love this because before our show in the notes, I put this in into Google, and I'm like, he's going to be angry.
Yeah, because I can tell immediately by looking at it, where's the verb going? You went to Catholic school, Brad. Where does the verb go in Latin?
Not the end.
Goes at the end. This is full-blown Monty Python, by the way. This is 1,000% Monty Python. In Dedicato Imperatatum Arto Articulum Mortis is an order in the dedicated beyond the article of death.
For the Emperor beyond the point of death.
No, it's not. It's pro imperatatum. It's pro imperatatum.
I know.
Obra mortum. It's not hard. Pro imperatator is for the emperor. Pro, simple, imperatator, emperor. And then if you want beyond death, ultra mortum. This isn't even hard Latin. This is easy Latin. We're not doing like Romans go home. That gets a little bit hard because it's a command. Anyway.
So it's pro imperator, ultra mortum?
Yeah. Pro imperator. Pro imperator.
Imperator.
Ultra mortum. It's not, Latin's not hard. Actually, I'm kidding. Latin's incredibly hard. Latin is a nightmare language. It's not Mandarin, but it is a nightmare language because you have to conjugate every word. That's what makes it so hard. And you throw your verb to the end. So you actually don't know what the sentence is till you hear the full sentence, which is kind of annoying. So you didn't get Latin in school?
No.
Toledo. That tracks.
I've learned Spanish, you know, a language spoken.
It's the same thing.
It is not. Let's go have a conversation in Latin with zero people. I think I'm getting better bang for my buck out of Spanish, bro. What are you, summoning spirits so you can talk to them in Latin?
I don't know. So, but let's get back to it. So later on, the Legion appears in a giant space station resembling the Raptorus Rex and wrecks a Chaos Armada, like John Wick style. Like, the story is pretty funny. There's a whole Chaos Armada bearing down on an Imperial fleet. And this one, I mean, it was a Death Star, shows up and just starts bouncing around the entire Armada, blowing each and every ship up like it had an invincibility code on it. That was great. And these stories make it seem like the Fire Raptors are the Legion of the Damned. I don't like this being the case.
I agree. And I agree with you. When I was reading the notes and I looked at stuff, that's why we had talked before about talking about the Firehawks' origin in the beginning and then talking about the alternatives. But I think that the Firehawks are just members of the Legion of the Damned. I think the Legion of the Damned isn't any one chapter. And this is Brad theory, 100% Brad theory. Okay. It's not canon. But like, I think that the Legion of the Damned is a bunch of these guys, but I think it's a ton of different chapters, members of different chapters, because you have to have a level of hatred and anger with a dedication to the Emperor. And these are hard to come by. You know what I mean? You have a lot of things that go together to form somebody being inside the Legion of the Damned.
Yeah.
Like, they're taken from everywhere.
That's what works for me better, is like, hey, just there were some Firehawks in there. Because the Firehawks, to be fair, are incredible zealots. So if anyone's going to be like, yeah, I'm not done fighting for the Emperor, it makes sense it was them. But it would also make sense if there's a lot of Black Templars in there.
Yeah.
Wolves. It just
that's kind of where I'm going on that. Do think that probably a lot of the lost Firehawks became Legion of the Damned. I just don't think it's only them.
Yeah.
That's just, and again, that is a straight Brad theory, you know? Because when you look them up and you look at Legion of the Damned, a lot of times it talks about the Firehawks, and this is what the Legion of the Damned is. But I think Legion of the Damned is just more.
All right. Now, I need to call out, there was a canon conflict here, and I'm going to call it out real quick to get it out of the way because I hate dealing with this crap. White Dwarf 99. Which was released in 1988. In it, they detail...
I was still in high school.
Yeah, they detail the Legion of the Damned pretty heavily as the Fire Raptors, who were claimed by the Warp. All Warp entities descended upon them. All but one ship is destroyed. That ship makes an emergency translation back in the Materium. And upon arriving back in the Materium, the Astartes are permanently changed by the events of the Warp. They're all dying a gruesome death. It sounds like a Nurgle plague. And they decide death isn't going to take them. And they strip their armor bare and they cover it with skulls and bones and other cool stuff. The story sucks. It's so old that I tend to ignore any lore from before 1995.
Yeah, but this also conflicts heavily with the Legion of the Damned Codex that came out.
Yeah, and it makes it sound like these are just a regular Space Marine chapter that's kind of going around. It doesn't account for them being encased in flames. It doesn't account for any other stuff.
Translating in and out of the war.
Exactly. So this is an era where this wasn't even Warhammer 40K. This is Rogue Trader. So if you look up Legion of the Damned and you go in Lexicanum, you will see this story. But just to be honest, the reason that we are ignoring this story from a lore standpoint is it's so old that GW treats a lot of stuff from this early era as, like, oh, you read that? that's kind
not
of
bad.
They're not going to say, oh, that's not canon, but you're kind of hoping you hadn't read that because, you know.
Pay no attention to the man behind the curtain.
Yeah, it's very old. And if you could not, it's like a musician who's like, oh, my early work. Yeah.
When I was a pop star.
Yeah, I'm going to go ahead and never play that song ever again because it sucked. So that's one of those things. So that's why we're not going to really cover that. It does exist. But with that, that's Legion of the Damned, I think. Pretty good coverage of them. Good enough stuff. Next week, though, we're diving back into Chaos. We're bears. I've been promising for a while that we're going to cover the End of Death series, which is pretty in depth, mostly because just the first book.
Pretty cool.
Well, the first book alone lets me talk about Uranus nonstop. It is.
I was just about to say, we're going to do an entire cast on destroying Uranus.
Two casts. We're going to have two casts about constantly encircling, destroying, and fighting Uranus. We're fighting inside and around Uranus.
Inside, all up in.
We're spending a lot of time on Uranus. It's going to be highly enjoyable for me, but we can't do that till we cover some more chapters. Not the White Scars. That's just too funny to ignore. But, you know, Word Bearers, Iron Warriors, and Luna Wolves, obviously, we're going to have to do. So we're going to start with those who started it all. We're not going to do them all back to back, but the first one I do want to get out of the way is the Word Bearers. So it'll be fun. Hopefully, Brad won't die. And yeah. So until next week, John Barsotti, Brad Chester.
This guy.
See you guys then.